Good morning, everyone. Glad to see everybody here, and welcome to those that are watching online. And thank you for those worship songs. You actually prayed my opening prayer. Everything that we do, we need to remember, is all about Jesus. And I'm praying that the eyes of our heart might be open and that we might hear from the Lord this morning. I cannot tell you how thrilled I was this morning writing out the offering check to be able to put 1-3-2021. What? It's just a joy. I don't know why, except that 2020 was, as we all know, a tragedy. I mean, it was a classic Greek tragedy. I found myself longing for the old days of 2019. I don't know what more could have gone wrong in 2020, but I do know that God, in His grace and mercy, saved us from a lot. But as we look back on all of the discomfort, the tragedy of the year, I was thinking about the Greek tragedies, Greeks were very much into theater and very much into tragedy, and they would write these very complex and intricate and involved and unsolvable tragedies, and they couldn't come up with a way to end them. They were so complex, and everything was unsolvable. So they invented a literary technique that is called Deus Ex Machina. You know what that is? We see it in movies today too sometimes. But Deus Ex Machina means God from above. When they couldn't solve the tragedy, they would employ one of their many gods to come down in the final act, and whoop, everything was fine. You know, just call on Zeus and he'd come down and make everything good, because they couldn't write an ending. They couldn't solve their problem. The tragedy was too great. So they'd employ one of their gods. And the God would swoop down on the stage and save the day. The human race has a tragedy. We have endured a tragedy of immense magnitude, and it's been with us since the beginning. God had created us to be like Him. We were created in His image. Doesn't mean that God looks like me, or worse, that I look like God. It means that when Adam was created, he was created physically alive. He was created with a soul that was eternal, as well as his body, his mind, his emotion, and his will. But most importantly, he was created spiritually alive. And that spirit in him gave him the capacity to have a relationship with God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit. So that's how God created us, to be able to have fellowship with him all the time. And we don't get a full description in Scripture, but it hints to the fact that Adam and God were pretty close. I mean, they walked together and talked together. God instructed him, gave him purpose, gave him meaning, gave him a perfect environment, and created for him the perfect companion. When Adam first laid his eyes on Eve, literally what he said was, "Whoopee!" He was excited. Just one of the many gifts that God had given those two was relationship with one another and relationship with him. And we know the story. They bought into a lie. Someone whispered that God was holding back. He didn't really have their best interest at heart. God kind of warned them that this was going to happen. And he said, "Listen, when you fall for this lie, when you disobey, I've given you one thing not to do. If you do it," Scripture says, God said, "dying, you will surely die." And the moment they challenged God's love for them, the moment they fell for the lie, they began the process of dying physically, but they died immediately in their spirit. That capacity to know, to understand, to have fellowship, to receive from God his grace, his mercy, all of the benefits and the joy that he created us to have, they killed it in that instant. And that is the human tragedy. Because from that point on, Ephesians says that we were born, physically born alive, but born dead. The spirit inside was gone. In Adam, all die. Every descendant from Adam was born spiritually dead, without the capacity to have relationship with God. So what do you think God did? Where do you think the Greeks got that? God from above. God sent his son to solve the tragedy, to heal the wound as only he could. John chapter 1, In verse number 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. And John says in verse number 14 of his Gospel, chapter 1, the Word that was already existing from eternity past, the Word that was face to face with God the Father, that Word at a point in time became flesh, and He dwelt among us. He came down. God came down to solve and to heal the tragedy. And we're all familiar with this. This is what you hear in church all the time. And it's really, we sang about it last week. We sing about it almost every week. But we sang "Away in a Manger." It says, one of the verses in that song says, "And fit us for heaven to live with thee there." That's what the birth did. Not the birth, but the cross that was born in his heart did. Him dying on the cross, taking the penalty of our sin and Adam's sin and everyone's sin, taking the judgment for that sin on himself, he opened the door to offer grace and forgiveness through faith in him. Not believing in him up here. Don't make that mistake. Just believing that Jesus was born in a manger, Mary was his mother, and he was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he lived, and he died on a cross for you, for the sin of humanity, and he was buried, and he rose again. Just accepting those facts doesn't do one single thing for anybody. You have to trust those facts. You have to trust that what he did was adequate. Don't believe the lie that Adam believed, that God was holding back, that there was something more. There is nothing more. You can't, and I can't, nor can anyone improve upon what Christ did on the cross. In order for that to mean something for you, you have to trust it. And that means you have to quit trusting whatever it is you are trusting and believe in him for the Savior that he came to be. And that is part of our gospel. Part of it. It's not all of it. We saw from the reading this morning from the book of Acts, the first evangelist, their messages were, you killed him, he was buried, but he's alive, and we are his witnesses. That was the message that they taught. Not simply that he died on the cross for your sin, but he was also raised from the dead in order to bring you life. Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. No, because he lives, I can face each and every challenge of each and every moment of each and every day. For the rest of my days. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6, Paul put it this way, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, for whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Our life is not defined by who we are and by the activities that we generate in our own effort. Our life is defined by how much we surrender that life to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, to live his life through us. That's the answer to the tragedy. This is the gospel that changed the world. He's alive, and we are his witnesses. He's alive as much today as he was away in that manger. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, I think Paul puts it as clearly and succinctly as it can be put. Paul writes this, for God did not appoint us. And the book, is by the evidence within it, is clearly written to those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. For those, God has not appointed us to wrath. He's delivered us from wrath. But to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, this is the purpose, whether we are awake or asleep. Asleep is another word for physically dead. Whether we're alive and in the body or dead and out of the body. Whether we wake or sleep, that we should live together with him. It's not something that we're waiting to cross Jordan's river and reach the land of Canaan and go into heaven. If that was all that God had in mind by providing salvation, then why are we still here? Why would he have us wait to enjoy life with him? Why not just the moment you receive Jesus Christ, you die and you go to heaven. From what I've heard, it's far better there than it is here. No matter how good it might be here, it's nothing compared to what God has in store for us there. But the reality is, he has it in store for us now. Right now, where we're sitting. Today. Jesus died for us so that we might live together with him. That is the purpose for God coming down. That is the end of the human tragedy for those who would apply it. To realize every moment of every day that Jesus Christ is alive in you, and you are his witnesses. I was listening to a CD. You know, I went and I broke down and got a new car. And the guy was delivering the car. You know how they do. They sit and they tell you with all the buttons. Dude, I can't even keep this microphone on, so I just get confused completely by technology. And he was in there for 45 minutes explaining all the gizmos and gadgets on the car. And I said, where do you put the CD in? You're laughing, you already know. I didn't know this. They don't put CDs in cars anymore. Why? Well, everybody has this MP, this, and you can do. I said, I can't do that. I have these little things that you stick in there, and it plays the music I want to hear. What a shock. I almost told him to take the car back. But he said, all new cars are like that. So you're forewarned. Anyway, I was listening to a CD, and the guy was speaking, and he said, the thing that really frightens him is that God did not have a plan B for saving the world. You're his plan. You and I are plan A. We are his witnesses. And yes, the gospel says that Christ died on the cross for our sins. Receive that, accept that, believe that, trust it, and you have eternal life. But that is not the complete gospel. We have much more to share. We have much more to experience. He died for us so that we might live together with him. We're told in Scripture that when Jesus came, that he emptied himself of himself, of the divine content. He set aside the second person in the Trinity to be filled by the Holy Spirit. That's what Philippians teaches. And that's what Jesus said throughout his ministry. He said, don't look at me. Don't look at the works that I do. They're not my works. They're my Father's works. The words that I speak, these aren't my words. They are my Father's words. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he taught us by his life what it means to live together with him and fellowship with God, filled with the Holy Spirit and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. To allow God to be God in us. That's why he said, hold on to your seats. The works that I do, you will do. Who was he speaking to? Those guys or all of us? He was speaking to all of us. The works that I do, you will do. How will we do those if we're living life on our own? If we're just plodding along, doing the best we can, waiting to get to heaven, to enjoy the benefits of our salvation. Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. And he meant that we would be the witnesses to the fact that he is alive. We're going to be starting Immerse. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be going through Psalms first. And I started reading and got a little bit ahead. And today I read in Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11. David wrote, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you. That's the gospel. My prayer for me that I would apply that each and every moment of each and every day. That's my goal. It's not a New Year's resolution. It's a daily, hourly, minute by minute determination. And I invite you to do the same, because we are his witnesses. Thank you so much.